ki, nabri tan ki, gunamai ki, gangamai ki, lati devi ki, bhakti devi ki, tamadeir bhakti devi ki, all glories, 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 all
glories, all glories,
So I was hoping that I would bring with you a bring with me a tape I did on Sunday with the Institute of Devotees, but it wasn't ready. But I was just explaining to the devotees how we have to intensify in everything, that we have to be more fixed in the philosophy, we have to be more fixed in the way that we relate to each other as our immediate spiritual family, in terms of my disciples. We have to be more aware of how we relate according to the projects that we have, and also more aware of what's happening in ISKCON in general, what's happening in the world. And of course, all these things start off first with looking closer at our own life. I think we have the whole conversation of itself, if we want to. All the tape. You realize that we're on a different wavelength now. You know, the way I rushed in from Africa, I rushed to Australia, and now I'm on my way to, 2 days I'll be going to Suriname, Guyana, Trinidad, Jamaica, and Mexico. And then when I come back, I'll be going to India, and then later, moving around to Eastern Europe and things like that. So, there's a couple of things I want to mention here for us to help us in our work. First, we should all realize that I'm moving around now to do a lot of things, to set some things in place, but this is my home. Right? This is your home, this is my home, this is our base. We should realize that, we should be clear on that. In the future, we will be understood a little more. This is our base. Even though I'm coming only for 2 days and then I'm gone. I'm going to these other places, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. It's the same thing in Australia. Moving to so many temples, so many farm communities, with all the farm communities, to evaluate things, see what's going on. So it basically was clear, and I won't repeat it because I want you to hear this, because I give more of a thorough presentation. But basically, everything is intensifying in the sense that there's a demarcation taking place. That is that if devotees are not becoming more fixed, more spiritual, they're falling down. It's just like the Maya is increasing. So either you are growing and you're getting empowered, you're becoming more aware, becoming more excited about possibility, or you're also in the way to fall down. This is basically because Maya is growing like leaps and bounds. It's your energy. And infiltrating, the spiritual community. So you have to be careful, first, in just how you deal with material things, that you deal with them with confidence, otherwise mind will come in. It's like, I don't know what the result of that is, but it's coming in, like, so on the bad dashboard, those transcriptions. Now, whether they were supposed to go to Mandala, they're supposed to go to Parmeswar, I don't know, but somebody transcribed, but it's just floating around and stuff. What where are they supposed to go? So the one that's there, now she's bestowed up in her work. This is the lack of accountability. Even one of those transcripts is on humility and accountability. This is handy though. So when one person doesn't do their service, you see that somebody's not cooking proper, then it affects the deity service. Somebody's not doing the deity service properly, it affects the atmosphere. One thing affects another. I just started from 5 minutes before coming. If the farmer's squad taking all this time to do this, and then it's both been left there, and whatever we were doing, we didn't carry out what some other things were supposed to happen. Some things I asked to be sent to me, they also wasn't supposed to be sent to me. It's spaced out. yesterday, somehow things get put back and put back. We do not write out what we have to do. And I just opened it up to us. This is a transcription of a state accountability and humility. One of the address that I have. I was explaining to some devotee just the other day that it's disgusting, actually, the complication that I speak of things 3, 4, 5, or 6 times, and they're just about ready to just make something happen. And if I don't understand the mentality, we have to reschedule our stuff. Something is important, we find some way to do it. We do it in 10 minutes a day, half an hour, if we find some way. It becomes a regular part of our life. Something we really want to do for our maintenance, we do it. We find a way to do it. Schedule in. We were seeing yesterday, every time there's a radio program, every time there's a television program, every time there's a news article, there's always been some representation of some souls. We're talking about a mission of trying to help people share what we are supposed to be doing. We're not going to use it ourselves, at least share with somebody else who may actually use it. And I go on explaining how the emphasis is that everything we do, there is a reason for it. That we're on a very significant mission. We're in war. Not that war is going to start soon, not that earth change is going to start soon. It's already happening. And so when we don't do something proper, that Maya comes in, it minimizes the chance to get Krishna out more, etc. So this is the mood that we must look at a little closer, somehow understand. Well, this is just an example, which is, let me see this, broken out of the car, that somebody's worked hard, someone's waiting for something, now she's being held up, I'm on her case, my daughter, so we have to get this deadline, because that's why I rush to do what she has to do. And because it just didn't carry out properly, it didn't reach where it's supposed to go. Now what happens is that he got lost. I haven't saw him, he got lost. He might be in the car, he got lost. Or he just drops him on the street. Or he just drops him in the water. And all this devotional energy, Prabhupada's wife put into it. He gets wasted, he gets to the road again. So, of course, self-centered. He gets too self-centered about what's happening in our life. And then he gets distracted and go to bed. So I'm using that as an opening. Now, I'm moving now to all these places because I'm going to try to see what is the temperament. I'm going to try to see how to enlighten the devotees, how to encourage the devotees about being loyal to Krishna consciousness. At the same time, how to cope with the sociological problems that society is facing. When I was in Australia, we had to do so much with looking at the sociological problems. Why are marriages failing? Why are children not happy? Why are children leaving the society? Why are children not properly protected? Why are we having so many leaders who are slowing down? So many leaders who are falling to the side, even leaders who are falling down? Why are we having so many different philosophies coming from this side and that side? Why are we having so many communities, farm communities, where devotees are not properly coming together as a human community? So there are reasons for all this. The reason is that we're not being properly great enough of Maya, we're not taking our service. Serious. The bottom line is always studying day after day that we're not having sufficient love. We have love, and lust doesn't come in so much, the personalism doesn't come in so much, being spaced out doesn't come in so much. We have appreciated each other's services, and we will be more careful to see how we honor each other's services, and how we spread Krishna consciousness. And we have very holistic and very healthy. Not in my coming in this name, I'm feeling very courage, because I was seeing the possibilities of what where we should be at, very discouraged to see how so many different projects, the devotees are dull, the devotees are impersonal, the devotees are not taking the share of the proper jewel of what we have. Now you have to look at this. Krishna consciousness is like a mission that's been brought by Krishna. And eternally, ultimately, it is something that will be very effective, very powerful. But right now, as a society, it's like a city that's been bombed. A city has been bombed. You see, some remnants of what was there. What I can see when you first came here to this community, you see it now. You see, there was a time when there was so much facility. There was part of the budget. And you see equipment that hasn't been used for a while. Now that history has changed by leaps and bounds, we still see that there's not anywhere from where it used to be in terms of functionality of what was happening. So much of the movement is in that statement, things like bombs. And most people are not soldiers, not warriors, and they're not able to grow from what happened. A real soldier gets excited at this chance for scrimmage. Becomes, you know, alert when the war is going on. And it's very disturbed when there's not a chance to engage in some type of combat. So we're declaring war on Miami, we'll take the social service. Now the wars are going on, and we're falling to the side, we're taking shelter of other things, and then hanging out in different ways, and not any access. You can't just do things gradually. So a place has been bombed, it means that, you know, there's a circuit that's falling apart. There are wounds, the pain, the death, you know, the death in Canada. And into that kind of environment, you have to embrace it. Very concerned. Very caring, at the same time focused in redeveloping. Can't just redevelop and develop sufficiently without being aware of the environment, what people have been through, what facilities are there that have to be fixed and repaired. At the same time, you can't just go into repairing without knowing having some vision. Both things are there. So, you know, I always want to be able to render the best service that we can offer to students on the farm. Even though we're going to have disability, we want to have quality use of what we do have. And so I don't want ever a situation where my devotees have settled in like many devotees have. My devotees have become self-centered. My devotees are not, have just become more concerned about, you know, survival issues, about really trying to be extending care. And the only issue that anyone should have about my devotees is that they're basically new and they're just evolving and learning the philosophy in terms of speaking the philosophy, living the philosophy. Sometimes it takes years because you are reading, hearing. Become sharp on certain philosophical things. Other than that, that shouldn't be long because you're all being exposed to these classes and going. Other than that, there shouldn't be any area that our devotees should not be lacking. If you follow the principles, you should have cases where you have devotees who marry and then divorce in so many different terms. You should have cases where devotees are falling out when a girl, my wife, that he's having some connections with the kids. You should have any cases where devotees. Stealing or any whatever. It should be that the body is strong, it might be weak. It should be that the person knows that they're weak, they're concerned about the person, and of course it's imposing the person. The environment is that your person is weak, you just step together, get back, and continue when you see the necessary. So you see there are certain things that weaken you in society. One of the weakness in society is people are very, very fearful. Everybody's afraid, everybody's fearful about what the future is, everybody's fearful about certain things that happened in the past. There's just a lack of trust. You see that there's a tremendous lack of people being able to feel comfortable opening themselves up to love and move in general. If you're going to try to in general, it's just a lack of stronger support and support each other more. There's a strong weakness in the disciples. Relationship. And there's a strong weakness in being able to remind ourselves also what Sri Prabhupada has given us. What Sri Prabhupada himself has said, he's done, he's been able to do it. There's a lot of sentimentality of putting Prabhupada in the forefront and then minimizing Prabhupada. You understand, a lot of people talking Prabhupada, saying Prabhupada, and their own lives, they're not following, their own lives become selfish. Their own lives are not being strict. Their own lives are not being strict. Their own lives are not making lot, but what does it all have to do with us? What does it have to do with us is that we have the project that Prabhupada is coming to and identifying. Therefore, it's very, very important. Always remind yourself about that. The last meditation that Prabhupada was having, them preaching, expanding, and doing his mission to come to Idanagri and to make Idanagri a setup for 50% of his other work, which was working on social and economic factors of society. So Prabhupada gave us lots of things. He gave us the basic setup, but his intention was to help us now to see how to apply the setup where we could live and function in mature energy. He gave us what could help us to get out of the mature world. And if we could be first class, we could simply take that and do that. His second half of the mission was mainly to help us if we're not going to be first class. I don't manage that in the public, but you have to realize. Second part of the mission, we're not going to be first class. How to help us, or how to help us set up so others who are not first class can become first class. Vanashram Dharma idea is really materialistic. We actually Bhagavad Dharma, we're really just to be thinking about how to go back to God. But in the process, we have to maintain ourselves materially. And because we have to maintain ourselves materially, we have to hold a certain material things. Has to be a structure to allow that to happen, and we gradually become less and less physical. So basically the idea of setting up these communities so that there can be more arrangement for material survival, for material existence, material maintenance. This is basically what Vanashram Dharma means. It means that how to arrange things materially so that then we can be less bothered by it, to be more ease, towards to be spiritual, except the rest of it. This is the thing where that's what ended up. So, my name. My body. Good health. So, there's a need that you have a structure so that devotees can maintain themselves, people who want to come to devotional service can be able to fit in as they begin to access the transcendental. So therefore there has to be an arrangement where we have living accommodation, we have food, we have the ability to access the different varnas and different ashrams. So we can have those who are acting as shakti, those who are acting as vaishya, we have those who are acting as the renounced state, those who have to be there. But the real purport of Krishna consciousness is that you're finishing whatever you're doing, minimizing it, so you can get out of this place. This is the real deal. But in getting out of the place, while you're there, you have to finish it. So this is why, so wasn't that Prabhupada was not being thoughtful if he didn't set up his other half. It's that he came and gave us how basically to be Brahmins, how to know the philosophy, learn the philosophy, give the philosophy, teach the philosophy, share the philosophy, and be in contact with the spiritual world even before we leave the physical body. But that is not so likely to happen if souls have so many attachments. Because of that, there was a need to have an arrangement that was still outside of the basic, orthodox, mundane, mature life, that would be like a medium, or be an adjustment as we make the transition of the action. So this is needed all over, moving all around the world. This in-between aspect is needed. We have people, we have philosophers, we have high philosophers. At the same time, we don't have so much means to be able to live that and access it on a grand scale. So we go with Tiago. Somebody one day is telling great Krishna consciousness. Next couple of weeks they got to deal with their mortgage, their insurance, their this or that. Got to deal with the drug goals, the relationship, putting things up and down this way. But when there's a stronger sense of establishment of the Vanashram Dharma arrangement, then the devotees complement each other more based on the services, based on the ashram. Okay, now how do we look at what's necessary, the goals, and then deal with the present reality. So the first goal is that we're to be anti-material, but we have material bodies. Okay. So now, although our home is a spiritual kingdom, and we're trying to get there, and what do we do based on that? So it means that we try to see how to do things favorable for devotional service and minimize those things that aren't favorable. We have to look closer and see what's encouraging us to follow principles, what's discouraging us. What's discouraging us, we have to move away from that. We have to minimize. What's encouraging, we have to move from that. Now, if we look at that, we look at a third thing. We look at what we have right now for this time, which is our international family. So what we have right now is like this. Try to understand this. You see, I was explaining to the Lord, explaining to the Lord Sunday, is that my service in this movement is that I am a spiritual, social activist, so that you're able to get a better understanding of why we do certain things and what we do. That I'm an activist means agitator, an activist means one who's scrutinizing, one who's monitoring. Socialist means one who's concerned about the basic well-being of people, but from a spiritual platform. So I'm not just a socialist who's concerned with social mundane things, because those things are relative. Somebody who's an activist, somebody who just enjoys being an anarchist, somebody who enjoys just attacking or assaulting or looking at things or finding the flaws or whatever. Or am I a philosopher? Somebody who just wants to speak philosophy. Or a religionist just wants to enjoy the spiritual culture and say they help with everybody else. As disciples are plugged into the spiritual veins of the spiritual master. So you are plugged into the mission of the spiritual master. So you are revolutionists. Revolutionists, Krishna conscious revolutionary philosophy, but you are revolutionists in a revolution. If that makes any sense. Of revolutionists, you have a certain of being a revolutionist amongst revolution. That is why we do things the way we do in the diet. That is our service to the Krishna Bhagavan. So that means that in some cases we have to be pace setters. Now this is very delicate, because of the voice I have in America, most of you are younger devotees, so some of the people you're going to have to deal with. Now how do you deal with that? What do you do? You know, this is what I want to do. First is that, as I start off, our devotees should always be known as devotees who are especially loving. That means amongst yourself, and how you do with others. And it shouldn't just be an artificial thing. You should see that of everything, that's the number one thing that's going to save people, number one thing that's going to help you grow, number one thing that's going to protect you with your society, the number one thing that's going to save. That is going to say into our human body that there is so much strength, so much realization, so much protection, so much knowledge that comes in loving connections. The opposite of that is not there. So many things will be connected to come each other. Now, we have an interesting sociological phenomenon. We have a phenomenon where Sri Prabhupada left the planet for almost 20 years now. We have a situation where majority of Prabhupada's the devotees, disciples, are in weak consciousness. We have a situation where so many of the leaders who were left to maintain the society are disappointed. We are disappointed. General, it's a scheme of devotees. So society is being attacked in so many ways, being attacked in that. There are those who feel that there should be no guru, that there's no real guru except Srila Prabhupada. It's called the Ripping philosophy. There are those who feel that there's that no one outside of the Indian body can be in connection to a guru. And those who feel that somebody can be a guru outside of the Indian body, but it is not happening now. Therefore, the only solace is to take shelter of a Vaishnava who perhaps is not even a part of his con, but is a Vaishnava sort of tradition. there can be guru and ISKCON, but have no affection for the ISKCON administration. Who's that? But have no affection for the ISKCON administration, because they see that basically the ISKCON administration has been so successful. The most projects have fallen apart or in stagnation, etc., like in manpower, like in money, etc. Now, all of those things are there. And all those things are there as Christian arrangements. A lot of the negativities that existing, a lot of negativities that are becoming in the future, are also part of Christian arrangement to allow Maya to prevail to see where people are at. When Maya starts permeating, then where there is strong desire for devotion, then one will grapple stronger devotional culture. And when Maya is strong and one's desires are not strong enough, then Maya will sweep up the universe. Just like right now the wind is being kind of strong. So if you're not grounded, something gets blown away. Sometimes it gets so strong they have to grab hold of the tree. So when the Maya is strong, then the person who's properly devotional situated will actually grab hold to Krishna, grab hold to Krishna. Principles, we grab hold to Vaishnava Association, we grab hold to the, the detail of Krishna consciousness, more genuinely. Somebody who's not so determined, then they will come and swept away. But sometimes it has to be that in order to make some people stronger, in order to arrange for empowerment. But with that, of course, the other thing happens. So this is the data we're dealing with now. This is the time. This kind of experience, the time when devotees get weaker and get stronger. So, it's very important, and there's an incident that I can address, I can address the Bhagavad Gita stuff, and to not just to pick on her, but to use it as a way of showing how we need to be careful what mistakes we're making now. Now, for instance, when Vijayatabha came the other day, maybe some confusion about how we deal with situations like that. There's a general understanding we should have. The other thing we should have is that spiritual life is strong when there's culture. There's spiritual culture. So when there's culture in general, it will add to becoming more spiritual. But the spiritual environment has the culture itself. The culture is that we call each other Prabhu. We look at ourselves as adopted Dasamana. We consider that each person is our master and we're the servant. That's the general Vaishnava. Vaishnava is also always trying to see how to glorify Krishna and encourage somebody else to glorify Krishna. That's the general part of culture. In our practices, we always honor seniority. Now, what is it? If we see here, I'm just giving here, just see, I finished saying, most of our disciples have kind of retired, or some have situated themselves, trying to get a balance between the mature and spiritual life and struggling, and a lot are going, okay, most are not. So then, what does it mean then? It means that just as if you have a strong family, and your uncle is a drunkard, or your uncle is sick, if it's a proper family and you have proper niece or nephew, then you treat the person very kindly so that they rise above the level that they're at, or that they realize that they feel encouraged to do what they're supposed to do, or that they feel cared for and respected by you, that then they act more in a way, you know, they deserve that respect. Did you understand? So you have so many nieces, you have so many uncles and aunties who are wounded. They got bombed. In some cases, they went to somewhere to avoid getting, direct bombed. Some of them bombed. Some of them didn't get bombed, but they got disturbed by the fallout. And some of them didn't get disturbed by the fallout, but they're not quite so sure what to do because they were around others getting bombed. And they're fearful because of that. And then some are real soldiers. And the whole idea just gave them more shock, gave them more stress. The war is going on, now they're grabbing the weapons, going out to fight, that's the chance to use some of the stuff that they've been trained for. So, we should always have this rule of etiquette. Not that we have a mechanical thing that you've been devoting for so many years longer, so you're more senior, might have been devoting for 20 years as a senior. Not in a mundane sense, but in a sense that we respect that this person is actually my uncle, or this person is my auntie, or this person, you know, has been Shanghai Christian for 10 years, my godfather got to be Shanghai Christian for 10 years. So they should be more serious, more advanced, because they've been Shanghai Christian for 10 years. But in the culture and etiquette, that in a war, somebody's a captain, somebody's a general, you respect them. And they do more, they'll, in many cases, they will do better, they'll put more calls to duty, but then everybody else will function better because that setup of authority and appreciation will be a part, integral part of everyone's consciousness. Just analyze the situation. There was about 4,000 devotees, almost 5,000 devotees that Srila Prabhupada initiated. There's only a few hundred out of the world who are still active in the temples. And who knows how many hundreds are still, you know, following the street. But I'm still living, you know, most are not right now. However, the majority of them will get back involved in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime strong, that things get much worse. It's like now when people get sick and they're dying. I want everybody to come to very Krishna consciousness. You have so many devotees now who left their body, who are blue. And they finally get AIDS, they get this, they get hepatitis, they get cancer, and they become so Krishna conscious because they're special souls who really are Krishna conscious. But somehow, different levels, people are accessing. But that'll happen. But also, as things change in the world, people begin to see Krishna conscious post and COVID. Then many people who are kind of at a distance a little bit, they'll get back involved. Also, some of those souls are outside, and they have had a few years in Maya, and now they're very devotional again. But in the devotional mood that they're in, they're not sort of wanting to be too close to the temple, because their present life doesn't fit in. But they're, wherever they are, they're being strict, and they're preaching, and they're affecting people's lives. They'll reach an outside for people that some devotees won't be able to reach, because people won't come to the temple. So it's like having alliances. Warfare, so you were doing this, yes, some other people were doing this in this section, somebody here, somebody there. Then later you kind of meet and you realize how it's a teamwork. So that's going on. But now, what while all this intercom is happening, then how should one think about it? So the way one should think, first is realizing that when you have uncles and aunties, that you honor and respect the fact that you have them, and you try to associate with them in a way to encourage them, in a way to inspire them, in a way to exhilarate them, etc. So that means the way one should do is one should treat them with love and with care, so that if they are not of the standard, they will feel inspired to understand. If they are of the standard, then they feel inspired to go on more. Thank you for being almost an hour late. I know you're busy doing service, but I'm speaking on very important things these days, and I'm only coming briefly and moving around to try to give the taste of what things that I did. So, now, try to analyze from a sociological perspective. So, when Prabhupada was on the planet, it was very clear, any dispute could be ultimately resolved by Prabhupada directly. Devotees could sometimes see and hear Prabhupada directly, that was there. Srila Prabhupada leaves, the movement is still going through certain phases, still has not completed the second half of Srila Prabhupada's mission. The devotees are still quite young, and children in the Sanskrit. So now, as we have the date, it's 1997, so we have the majority of those 5,000 devotees initiated living outside. Majority not active. We have a few hundred who are still active in the temple, a few hundred more, maybe up to 1,000, you know, that from outside are still really identifying. But mostly kind of have some things on hold right now, because they're, it's like a bomb. The bomb is dropped, and if people get wounded for a while, have to recuperate, have to rebuild themselves, have to build the houses, build the infrastructure, etc. So now of that, you have those who are spiritual masters. You have those who are sannyasis, the problem is that. Those who are temple presidents. Now, tell them to send yourself to God. So those who are spiritual masters, they have devotees, they have disciples, they go from country to country. You know, it's like now I'm traveling to six different countries, okay? Came back to some place. So they have more access to take some money from this place and that place. Even if there's a vertice, it's easy for them to borrow here, borrow there. And you know, they're like, what is he, brokers. You have those who are sannyasis, who they move around, they can have maybe a few minutes of travel with them, to people who work on their party. So there's certain life. Those who are president, they have ability to coordinate things with their president. Now, what about proper disciples who are none of those things? Now lies the difficulty it is for you. They come into a temple. They go to a country, they go to a zone, they go to a project. And it's like they're just walking into different places. That's the map, or it's like the camp of a certain guru and his soldiers. You send out an alignment. Most of the devotees in the temples now are devotees of the different new spiritual masters. So here someone is who's not a genius himself, not a guru, not a sannyasi, not a temple president. It is very difficult. The person has been, in the past, been known as Prabhupada disciple, following the planet, doing this service, which is going a certain way. Now, there are, you know, 50 different spiritual masters, different levels, 30 different GDCs, about 50 or so sannyasis. So notice how most of Prabhupada disciples are in those positions who are still around. Most of the others, they are having difficulty. Now it becomes a lot, it becomes very difficult if that person who now trying to do his or her service and is not getting love. Why? Because here's this person looking, he's been a devotee for 25, 30 years. When I've been a devotee for 22 years, he's a guru. He's moving around here, there, there. Here's somebody who's been a devotee for 25 years, not a president, he's not the GBC. And what is the situation? He's got to hustle to get money for his gasoline for his car. He's got to hustle to get his flat fixed. He's got to hustle to see how to pay rent. He's in anxiety because, or she's in anxiety because he's fighting with her, husband fighting with the wife. When they go to a different temple, in any case, they don't quite fit in because there's none of the proper disciples around. If they can't get into the mood of the project, they have difficulty, etc. So they kind of almost feel like misfits. There are the God brothers who are still active. They're driving around in nice cars. They're flying around in airplanes. They come in, and all of a sudden the whole atmosphere gets surcharged. Everybody's eyes get starry. The guru is here. The GB is here. The GBC man is here. They're listening to the person. They're trying to cook. They're competing. They're cooking for the person. And then he's there looking at this. And then he goes home and get all these bills, you know, that's in the postbox, you know, in the mailbox. And, you know, the wife is tired, she doesn't want to cook, or he doesn't like cooking, but the kids are yelling, the kids are crying. And how is he supposed to feel enthused about Krishna consciousness? He goes back to the temple. The disciples are all very enthused because the guru was there. The guru was very enthused. He just came from this place, that place. Today he's going to some other place. He's talking about Prabhupada in a very, you know, fresh way. This devotee is looking at him thinking you know, what he's going to do in his life. You know, 25 years of chanting Hare Krishna, and he has no position, he has no disciples, he has a lot of attachments perhaps, does not show what's going to come of his kids. So now what happens with that? Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. If somebody in advance, they're able to deal with it. Huh? They're glad to see how their godbrothers are trying to maintain the mission of their father. But at the same time, their advance, they're still disturbed because they see that most of these have fell down and disappointed. Most of those initial groups have fell down. So they have some fear of what the future is going to be, even those who are induced. But in the majority of cases, what's going to happen? They can't help it. They're going to be envious, they're going to be angry, and they're going to be disturbed. they're beginning this, and they see how something happened to this person, and this person didn't even join, they joined later than they were in the meeting. They're going to be disturbed, and they have to think that they got to hassle so much to take care of their children, and nobody seems to be caring, because everybody else is struggling also with their kids. But everybody's eager to serve the food. They're going to be disturbed. What they're going to do, first thing they're going to do is they're going to fall down, because by feeling too depressed, they'll turn to Maya. That's one alternative. Second thing that they'll do is that they'll be angry at their wife and angry at their children, because they'll be thinking, because I got this wife, because I got these kids, and I got all these material burdens, otherwise I'd be a sannyasi myself, and I'd be traveling around and preaching and doing projects and these things and that. Third, they're going to be a little discouraged, because in many cases, they look around at other householders, and they're not going to see a whole lot of this examples that's inspiring them to be a household who's preaching and who's being very strict and very strong. And fourth, is that they're going to want to change the philosophy so that it accommodates more of their own mood. That's Ricky philosophy. Well, they change the philosophy and they say, actually, there ain't no gurus. These guys can't be gurus. I thought I'm going to keep falling down. The rest are going to fall down. Or they're just playing, like children playing house. Or they change the philosophy indirectly and they make you feel intimidated and embarrassed that you are a young devotee or that you have a guru. So many devotees now are preaching and they preach and they're embarrassed to speak about their guru. Because the atmosphere is such like, we don't want to hear that. We're not interested in that. Although our basic philosophy is based on guru-disciple relationship. Now also notice that devotees who have a strong guru connection, whoever the guru is, notice the devotees who have a strong guru connection are always more enthusiastic. Just think about the devotees you know who are very enthusiastic, and notice that they have a stronger guru connection. Because you get inner strength of it. If you don't have it, it's a big problem. It's like you're going on in a mechanic. You don't have it. Something's missing, something missing. So now, what does that mean based on the present situation of Israel? It means that, first, everyone should always emphasize Prabhupada as the nucleus and as the universal fact. Because that is natural, and that is give solace to whatever the situation is. But at the same time, if you don't realize the danger in not thinking of your guru, not being more directly connected with your guru, then you will fall, because you will not get into strength. You can't just think of Bhakti Siddhanta, you can't just think of Guru Goswami, and think that you're going to be a strong devotee. It doesn't work that way. They can't just think of Srila Prabhupada and they think of a problem different. In most cases, they can't do that because they need some help from somebody who is a shiksha. But they can't do that. Even though some people are trying to impose a death mentality or they create an environment that sort of, you know, engenders that. But you'll look and you'll see that they will not be strong devotees. So now how do we deal with this contradiction? That's why I claim to you that I'm a spiritual social activist. That you understand more what you have connected with so you can do your service properly. So that means you have to be concerned about the social mood of the society. You have to honor it, deal with it, but at the same time, not to give up what is spiritual. You can't just be spiritual and impose it on people, you won't have communication. But you can't fall prey to the deviation that's happening that's causing people to get weaker. So, then what do? You give great honor to the Prabhupada disciples and to any devotee. What does it say of Prabhupada? To their uncles and nieces, and to their uncles and their aunties. That you encourage them, if they're proper, you encourage them to be born stronger. And if they're improper, you encourage them to raise their standards. So then, what do you do, especially when you give classes? What do you do when you're speaking? What do you do when you visit other temples? Then you must keep Prabhupada as the main denominator. But
But at the same time, you must find timely ways to speak about your guru. Otherwise, your own life gets weak, and otherwise you don't serve that devotee properly. Especially if, because the idea is that you are to live the philosophy, and you are to help others to have a strong understanding of disciple-guru relationship, so that they make a strong relationship with their particular guru. There are devotees now who are falling down because they don't have the proper interconnection with guru. You can't go on and on in Krishna consciousness without sufficient protection. That protection comes from the Brahma life. There are devotees here now. You're helping them gradually. When we first came here, many devotees, they were afraid, they were embarrassed to speak about their guru in the public. And that is not a proper disciple. But at the same time, when you have many gurus, there's no intimidation about speaking about your guru. If you're excessive in that, then you end up the problem. You're giving a lecture, and you're in an environment with many different devotees, many different gurus, proper disciples also, and all you're saying is Krishna Prabhupada, people are going to shut down because they want to know what their Prabhupada said. What did Goswami say? Now, if they're sufficiently advanced, they're going to want to know all of it. They're going to want to know what Rupa Goswami, what Prabhupada said. They want to know what's happening with you and your guru in your life. If I hear that devotee speak, you know about Rupa Goswami, about Prabhupada. He's not a proper disciple. I realize he's not being properly trained. Or I realize even something's there. Now you should be trained that when you hear somebody speaking about their guru, that you are happy that that devotee is understanding and the most significant aspect of Krishna consciousness. Because by guru connection, then you get Krishna. It's like when Yasoda, the Krishna Mother disciple, came to Yasoda. And how she is so enthused about her guru, enthused about Prabhupada, but she does not separate. She does not just speak about one or the other, because she has a strong guru connection. But at the same time, in most environments she go in, she people will be disturbed. Because they'll feel, the Krishna Swami so well. Now that's offensive on their part. It's hurting her people that she can't express that more, and it's hurting the general environment. So what do you do? Our service is that we have to learn the spiritual science, and it only happens with love. Spiritual science to be aware of people's wounds, and not to minimize them, because the wounds are the wounds. Beware of the bombing that's taking place. But at the same time, as we are aware, sympathetic, and empathetic, and so we give them we give the help based on knowing the disease and the problem, but at the same time, we don't fall prey to the subculture. And that means from time to time, whoever you're dealing with, that as you're emphasizing basically Prabhupada, that you're also bringing up what your guru has said, what your guru has done, etc. Otherwise, you'll get weak in your consciousness, and you also may help others to have focus like that, and where there is the more advanced, serious devotees, they will also become discouraged, or they'll see you go one place, another place, and people are not understanding what you're trying to do. Some leaders are even getting weaker. You know, that's kind of what happened in the case of Jagadish. Jagadish Maharaj was also somewhat of a social reformer. But he was getting so discouraged by seeing so much weakness and knowing what was proper, that after a while he started thinking and acting like the people weak and we had to deal with. If you don't, like when you hear blaspheme, if you don't address it, you'll think like that. If you're around people who are so faithless, if you don't address it, you'll also become like that. This is what the scripture says, that you blaspheme. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to run away, you're supposed to destroy the messenger, destroy the person. The point is that it's like poison. So when you're in an environment and poison is coming out, and if you're not taking, what do you call it? When you get poison, you take an antidote. You take an antidote, then you likely get poisoned. This is a very interesting time in Krishna consciousness. What's going on? How not to be insensitive. You can't be insensitive and just say, okay, well, just do without being concerned about the effect. And worse is to do the wrong thing. You just say, well, you know, nobody else is doing it, nobody else is doing it. But the idea is how to understand, really empathize and sympathize with what is going on. And that's why I gave you that with this scenario. Just think now, the students are our disciples. Most of them who are have positions where they can control environments, where they have their independence, they have ability to access things and create their own field of service. And adults who don't. It is very hard. Some of them struggling, falling to the side. Some of them are not sure what to do. Some of them are creating some of the biggest disturbances in the movement by good intentions. They have good intentions, but they actually kind of destroy the power of the president's help. The rhythmic thing, all this stuff is actually, it's not even something that's part of the Vaishnava line. Not even in our Parampara. The people are developing it. But how can they not when they see that they're going places, they don't feel connected with Prabhupada, they feel that somebody, that people are just in some sort of hype. They're feeling disturbed with their own life, disturbed with their family, they're not clear about their future, they're falling down, or having so many temptations. So if you like that, you either cry out more to Krishna, or you look for some alternative somewhere in some way. And in most cases, people are not strong enough to then direct that more toward Krishna. So they'll direct it more to going back to drugs, to going to other women or the men. In this social development conference, I was reading, you know, some statistics from some of the devotees. I was explaining how, looking at England, I preached in England. In England, of 300 families that were married, only 15 of them still have the same husband and same wife. I mean, talking about, you know, ridiculous. And there's reason for that. And one of the main reasons is that when you are not happy with yourself, the tendency is that you look for some alternative. So people are looking for alternatives, and they're dissatisfied, they're thinking, well, if I get with this man, then life will be better. If I get with this woman, then life will be better. And it's a complete attack against the movement, because the movement is about spiritual commitment, spiritual family, and responsibility. Our record is worse, it's actually worse than the communists. Now, of course, the communists have many ways to cover up. One, they cheat and go on. Two, they have so much other sense gratification. So if things are not going right, they turn to some other type of sense gratification. They got drugs, they got alcohol, they got social things, they got this, they got that. They got so much TV, they got so many other abominable things, so many things they can do and tolerate a situation. What you're seeing is that relationships are so much in disarray, because people don't really care enough about the other partner. And as long as people are so much thinking about their happiness, their pleasure, they're going to keep doing things for their pleasure and their happiness. As long as people are not sufficiently devotional, they won't be able to overcome whatever the difficulty is. And the personality problem, the sociological problem, will become very, very severe. And basically, most of our marriage is rare to find a couple that's been together for 10 years. I mean, that's just amazing. You know? That means sociologically it's not working. And so therefore, we've taken on this position, trying to emphasize these kind of things. And that's why we are demanding a higher level of service of consciousness from all the voices connected with us. Because we definitely have to do this to the service to the problem. So I give this example also to help you with the practical consideration. I've been just trying to ask about things that's going on in the community. So for instance, I'll just take the attack of Jefferson, Sadhacharya and Shukra. But just like the other day when Richard Tapu came. So now, from what I said earlier, now think about his situation. He's been avoiding maybe 25, 26 years. Never been a manager, he's never had any responsibility. To say that he's one of the few devotees in the whole world who has been out going out every day for him at the same time. Very difficult service. Same time, he's one of the few devotees in the world who, you know, is kind of telling their simple life. So he got some quirks, no question about it. He comes back to the community, that's his home now, you know. He's going around, every place he goes, he's, you know, visiting, working out of the band, he's going to his Sankirtan, going to temple, that temple. He also thinking what can be close to the relationship also. So he goes to India, so then he comes back to a place that's been his home, they identify with, although he's gone most of the time. So somebody like that in that kind of situation needs to feel that he's wanted, needs to feel careful. So then when his wife gives him the garden, which is something happy to her, she did. So she's been seeing her husband for a while. He comes. So she gives the garland that would normally be given, you know, to the Bhagavatam town, and the devotee gives the Bhagavatam. So wonderful that she is tend to be appreciative to her husband, her Prabhu who's come, and gives him the garland. Now, rightfully so in one way that that's the garland for the Bhagavatam speaker. But why do we give the speaker the garland? Why do we serve each other? Why are we together? Because we're trying to encourage more Krishna consciousness. So here's someone who, coming to a new environment now, a new leader here, another one who's got brothers, who's taking charge, and all of his disciples, especially, dominating the place. He comes in here with all kinds of principles, all kinds of inhibitions. He's coming into an environment, it's like you build a house, and then you go away, and some people are living in your living room. And then you come to your house, and then they treat you in a way letting you know you can be here or not. And maybe you shouldn't be here. And you're already feeling a little bit like, you know, you're not wanted, or you won't be wanted, or you're not needed. Okay? So, wife gives him a garden, and then we tell him that this garden is for the Bhagavatam speaker. Just think about it. He's been away for months and months. He comes into a place where he's been leaving for a weekend. One of his gurus is here, one of his godbrothers, his disciples. He's struggling. Wherever he goes, he's only a visitor. Okay, and the second time, man, he's more of a visitor, you know, than most of them, because they're in and out. And they have to, they work on the second time. They come for a few hours, a few days, and they get in and out. Then he comes to a place that he considers like his home. And then a garland is being asked, you know, give the garland back. It's a little head. Think about it. It's not proper. And why is it not proper? Because the higher thing should have been that here's my uncle, here's somebody who's someone we're going to be working with. What would my guru perhaps want me to do in this situation? What has been my guru's example? My guru's example is John has always been about heavily trying to receive people. The guru gets all agitated, gets completely on our case about trying to receive people properly. The guru has so much goes around with us, with other devotees, and trying to encourage the devotees. So now we say, well, for the Bhagavatam speaker, he won't be encouraged. But not really, because more important would be the fact that here's someone who is more in the wounded situation, who is more of an emergency situation to, you know, to be addressed. Therefore, the attention should go there. That's it. So, this devotee is hurt much more than you can imagine. Because this devotee then starts thinking, yeah, I'm 25 years into this mission, and I don't really have any sense of identity. And here I am into an environment, my home, and it seems like these people are being trained up only to be, you know, the guru bodies. I mean, only to be concerned about their project, their guru, their guru's vision, their guru's idea, and he's thinking, what do I fit into all this? And what can happen to a body like that? That body can become weakened going to Maya. But that body then goes home and, you know, punches his wife in the face. But that body then, for the next 2 weeks, doesn't go out on Sankirtan. Or that devotee then gets paranoid for months and months and months about the environment because now he has the feeling that the environment is not really wanting his association. So I'm explaining sociological things so that we can try to do our part to maintain our devotion, try to improve on our own relationships amongst each other, but do more in trying to help heal some of the areas that there's a need for healing. Such. And if you just keep thinking about the example your own spiritual master gives, in many cases, you'll be able to think in a difficult situation. Now, when you're confused, always better to give more service, to give more attention than not. You're in a situation where it's confusing. Better to give more attention, let the person say it's not necessary, it's not needed, it's okay, than not. So if you've been really confused, then the better thing would have been to make two columns. You're really confused, you just don't know what to do. But basically, you should know that the money has been away, you already got the garland, so therefore, let it ride. Maybe you thought that they should have a garland for the bottom house speaker, but thinking that now, take this back, you're going to send the wrong signal. Somebody who's already wounded, who's already prayed on. And if you're not giving to him, you're wondering what to do, then it should be, what would singing produce the higher bhakti? Bhagavatam speaking, I know you're dead upset. You'll get the flower. But what would bring a higher bhakti into that environment? Someone who's coming, who is looking at the situation, who is coming back to an environment, then we always give some attention to someone who's been in the field, who comes back. We do our guru. We should do our gossip to God or the Vaishnava. And that's it. Anyway, this gave me a chance to just emphasize more about the way ISKCON has been bombed, what we're dealing with right now, some of the wounds that's there, and also to make us more sensitive about how to maintain spiritual culture, not to impose, but at the same time not to neglect. And it's a little difficult, but not. See, for instance, you care about somebody, you realize if I'm imposing too much about my project, my guru, they're going to feel uncomfortable, so I don't want to impose. At the same time, if I care about this person, I care that this person realizes that they're part of a big spiritual family and they're part of things happening, my guru is doing this to me now. And therefore, I need to let them know that Krishna consciousness is still alive. I'm just talking about Guru Goswami, Guru Goswami. No, that doesn't know that Krishna consciousness is alive now. This person needs to have life. So I care about this person. How do I not impose on them? The same time, how do I serve? Therefore, I think the balance is there. That's right. You see, that's what I'm doing in all the things that I do. That, my God brothers, I always humble myself to them. See, the day, if we have something to see, they are getting, that they're cared for, you see, time and time again. We got anything when God was coming. It doesn't matter whether it's a guru or not. You see how I treat them. So that's just in the signal to you. At the same time, you see that I don't minimize the culture or the conflict. I don't change because they come, and then we just minimize the Christian conflict. I don't speak different than I speak and say just because of the way after they've gone. You know, you see, I'm very heavy sometimes when they're around and another guy. The point is how to keep the balance. I've given you a formula. Be humble, submissive, but grace. To be humble, that you're really concerned about being a servant of others. And to be submissive, and not just artificial, be really submissive to what has been given to us, you know, by our great, sweet heritage that we have. Same time, you have to not be intimidated. Because in so many cases, people need to know. They need to know that Krishna comes alive. They need to know that there is somebody who's going to destroy that. They need to know. They need to make a strong connection with everything in Google. They need to know if they need a Google. It's a very serious issue. And it all comes back to those things I said earlier, that when there's not sufficient understanding of this great gem that Prabhupada has given us, then there will be some weaknesses. Or when we articulate Prabhupada so much, then minimize the strategy of how we give it. We don't have sufficient loving energy. We won't be able to figure this all out. We'll have so much questions on this thing and that thing. What about what to do here? We think think about what's going to bring about the greater bhakti, what's going to bring awareness of loving, exchanges, and then we can do. And then, even if you make a mistake, but if that's your orientation, then people will accept it and will correct you, but will be very pleased. See that you are just being a somewhat neophyte, that you're properly trained, you have good mood, you have strong devotion. It's like sometimes devotees, you know, say for instance, a devotee may give you so much of something, you know, the word, be so attentive, the good intention that you tell him that he's not needed. But at the same time, inwardly, you are happy to know that this person is concerned, this person is attentive to Vaishnava, this person has some background, has been trained in such a way. And then you taper them down in that sense, but then one walks away. And the last thing is just keep this war, and it's, you know, it's no accident that we are using a spiritual warrior conception. You can understand many things from the love aspect and the war aspect. Sometimes people say, oh, it's fair in love and war. It's an amazing truth in the Bhagavad, because they're very similar. When you think about the war idea, somebody getting prepared to go out and fight, somebody getting wounded to fight, somebody has to get proper equipment to go to fight. You think about this, then it becomes also an issue to evaluate relationships. People need to hear properly because that's the ammunition. Need to chant properly. Need to have proper prasad. Need to have a proper environment that encourages them to go out and share, to live with lots of share. Who come back from war, from services, need to be patched up, taken care of, cared for. When leaders come around, what's in my mind is not different than it's like somebody went out in the jeep and they were gone for a month fighting that day, like hell. And now they come back, you know, to get to see me finished. When I see a leader that comes from this place, that place, and comes back, the person is preaching in Eastern Europe, then preaching in New York, then preaching in England, this place, that place, they come and visit us. I see it like somebody who's been in this field, in this thing, that thing, that thing, the problems we have, struggling, sometimes getting attacked this way, that way, and they come to our association. Now a chance we can serve as general, and then go back to this field, it's like different. But to go into another field, it's different. Therefore, like, attentiveness is important, because I'm thinking that this person is different. Now if we feel properly, they'll go out even more energetic to be able to do their work. And there'll be so much more devotion. So I really appreciate that. We have this amazing service. Prabhupada, the last meditation is coming here to give up. And this aspect of community development, and social development, is the thing now. It has to be addressed to be able to create the balance so that devotees can actually be more trans. Without that, it'll be harder to trans, you know, because they won't have the platform to be able to do the necessary. You know, it's like trying to dance or trying to sing. You don't have a stage, you know, you don't have a microphone. So it becomes difficult. You know, you don't go and do it, and you can't do the thing right, people can't see you, you can't see them. And it's like you just kind of going through motion. So without some of these things together, it'll be just like that. You might be trying to sing, there's no microphone. You know, there's no music. You don't have to come in, there's no music. But when those things are together, then being a devotee, it becomes easier to be a devotee. It becomes easier to function in the proper way. The last thing you remember now is just take it off the theoretical level. Day to day. Those devotees who are doing the best in their Krishna consciousness, who are in Jews, notice time and time again, they have a strong disciple-guru connection. Those devotees who are weak, or who are bewildered, or who fall down, they have a weak connection. That is the power of Mahaprabhu. Why is that? Because no one is actually able to defeat Maya. Maya has special work and is most expert during their third position. So then how does one person avoid Maya and other person's justice? Is that one is more protected and therefore is not destroyed as much, or only a devotee, but a good connection with the guru, and I can prove to you, study devotee in time, that they're either fallen or they're on the way to falling. Impossible. Mind is too strong. The devotee has a proper connection, and it means Krishna is coming through. Don't think that I'm going month after month, year after year, in a kind of a situation that's not even totally defined. I am Mr. ISKCON. I am GBC Vice Chairman for 2 years, Chairman of North America for 1 year. Right now, I'm Mr. ISKCON in terms of management. In terms of UCC, International Security Conference, I am one of Mr. ISKCON because I'm in along with the executive, other executive members. I was asked to stay on as Vice Chairman for keeping continuity. And if I can back out, if I wanted now to be the Chairman for this coming year, I could be the Chairman. But at the same time, I am one of the most unorthodox members of the Executive Committee and of the Administration Board in June. Now why is that? I mean, I'm writing the books that the, you know, books I've written, not the, you know, not the Rupa Goswami, Kim Goswami books. I'm writing books to reach people who are into mystic gymnastics, people who are into leadership, and mostly secular leadership. But at the same time, I have never one day in my life broke principles. Right? At the same time, I have not one day in my life not changed 16 rounds within the book. So I am most conservative, but at the same time, most radical. Most conservative, but most revolutionary. You know, no sannyasi in the movement wears calmly clothes as much in the public as I do. I'm preaching. No sannyasi in the movement practically who's in good standing, deal with women the way they are. No. And I'm total contradiction because of the fact that as you evolve more and more, you reach what's called diunital. Some of the higher things are seemingly contradictory. Prabhupada was very vicious, ferocious, like a lion. To say that he was so humble in some way, he was like a child, like a kid, like a baby. So like, you want to do things for him. Prabhupada was so accommodating, even a bum, but to say that he was telling the scholars and others that they're mudha, they're asking them something. Same Prabhupada. Prabhupada would come in, when they come in his room, he'd be so kind to them, he'd give them on the walk, he gives the body his own sweater, his own journal. The same Prabhupada would come and see him for darshan, some people he would just stop him and say, so why are you killing? Why are you, you know? Cardinals come and tell me, well, why are you killed? And I'm having a conversation with him, we let them go any farther. When trying to speak philosophy, just that thing, why are you murdered? Why are you killed? You know, so that's there. So you have taken shelter of such a kind of difference in preaching. So you have to also be aware. You have to be most accommodating in helping even the most fallen person feel inspired to be a devotee. Treating them very kind, being eager to respect them. At the same time, being strict so that in your own life, that you're setting an example from your own life. Right now, I'm being asked for some devotees in Europe to be an arbitrator for these crazy devotees who got this written philosophy. I have no interest in that stuff. It's completely contamination. It's like demonically empowered. But why? I'm a guru. The philosophy says you should be gurus. The philosophy is based against the story of GBC. But why is it that I am a guru and a GBC man, an executive committee? People feel they can approach me this way. Because I'm known as somebody who you can't completely put your hands on because I'm not being put into a box. Vaishnava is not being put into a box. That you love when necessary. Sometimes you give hard love by chastising or by not playing inconsistently. If you're political, you can be put into a box. You're going to vote this way, you're going to think this way, you're going to think that way because you're political. You got stuff you're just hiding in the closet. You got acting this way, acting that way. No. Because sometimes, according to what I feel, it's going to produce a higher bhakti. I'm ready to live that, ready to follow it, even if it's There's only one or two people doing this. You've seen it, it's been different right now. So just try to access more about caring the soldiers and how can you assist in the war that's going on. Don't get wounded yourself. Treat others in a way that you encourage them in their service. Realize you're a little bit in an awkward position because you are the disciples of second generation, and also that you have joined with the juniors, most of you, and people have a tendency of looking at that in certain ways. But what can you do? And do like I do. My memory is very bad. I'm not a scholar. I don't like community. I don't like farm life, I don't like city life, I don't like any country, especially. Because other people say, well, do you like America, Africa, India? I'm like, none of these places. I don't like these places. None of them. But at the same time, I got to speak a lot. Huh? Same time, I have to move around a lot, be concerned about social issues, because it's services that folks should have. Therefore, don't think about your own capacity and capabilities only, but think about what we can do. What you can do, and Krishna allows you, or what you do, to be able to do. I'm not a manager, I'm not a public person, but as the call is there, as I said before, you see, I'm not even a writer, I can't just fail. Yeah? People have trouble with that. Even my Kami life is like that. My Kami life was born, my mother raised us, I only that's because I really realized my father was. It was so, it's something that ambiguous. My father never went, he told us that he loves. He wants to nice come back to life. So, raised my mother on welfare most of our life. You know, we never knew it because my mother was so kind, we never knew that we were so poor. Whatever we had, she'd give it to everybody else. Went to the technical school, so much of my high school, and then went to 1 year to a prep school. I had one grammar course in my life. Huh? And then I go to Princeton. Huh? It's thrown into one extreme environment and another extreme. Living in the ghetto, all of a sudden you go to one of the best schools in the world, rich and super rich. Huh? So it doesn't matter what your Krishna wants you to do something, it can happen. Not based on capabilities. Most of my life, I had what do you call it, remedial courses, speech therapy, because I could not speak. Right? At the talk, it would take me 5 minutes to get out of words. I would be stomping, trying to get the word hidden on things. But when I had to say something spiritual sometimes, then I would be able to speak. And then right after I get off the stage, right after I get from the radio, right after I get from the church pulpit, and I would just start studying like anything. So it's not based on what your material capacities are. That if you let yourself be used, you can Krishna will come to you. So what has to be done now is beyond any of our material capacities. But if we let it happen, it will happen. I mean, just speak. Sometimes when you're done, you know, they're trying hard to show you. They got big problems, huh? They got a little baby. They want to have another baby. They got this house. They got all these bills. And then because they're trying, then they come here. Then I've got a job. Sometimes I just got $15,000. Come help me pay some of my bills. Just because they're trying. I mean, they got stuff out of China. And the truth. So it's newly wet. Normally somebody wants to be out. Trying to see how they're going to take care of their mature thing. But because they're trying, they think that. I mean, in most of your cases, it's actually quite pleased, really. That's why I'm pushing the father, pushing hard. and to be careful. When you face Guru, they think he's going to push you. Really? I just want you got a mission. Letter like that. Actually, because I'm pleased. I see that you are trying harder. I see that you're trying to advance. And therefore, let me give this up. The mother is going to stop. What is this? You're getting on my case so heavy like this. Hell, this is too much. But no, that's me. Because you're trying. Then I can push. So I got to think about things. I'm trying. I'm trying to go make a little more advances. So then, let's see. But come on. Then I get on the case. But I need to be more careful. My open service, you're interfering with. We have open service. You're interfering with now. So, promise-wise, and all these hours typing it. Mandara is, you know, just working hard like anything to finish this on time. And now I just didn't hear any good again lost. All of these things shouldn't be overwhelming that we got to be so much detail conscious. We should realize we have to be more caring. And if we have that, then these other things will fit into place. More caring and being more aware that we're actually at war out there with balance. I mean, I'm shocked because I've traveled around too. I've seen so many devotees are watching this project. See what's going to happen. This thing fails. So many people who have confidence and interest in the rural community, probably take a faith, going to lose tremendous faith and enthusiasm. But there's no question of failing. I mean, there's no conception of that in my mind. It's just a matter of how long it takes us to get the stronger hold. Another thing you should realize is that I can and would be here more often. And I will. But I purposely want to kind of let the general atmosphere kind of settle in a little bit of my spiritual, psychic makeup, personality, mood, so that it's not impulsive. It's one of the reasons I'm not here quite as much. I mean, I don't just have to go right now to the GFP. I can go to Suriname, I promise, but I can come right back and spend a little more time here. But I am going to be doing that more. You should know yourself, I'm going to be pushing things a lot faster. Just kind of wanting the devotees to feel a little more, because as I told you, that you look at the variety of war. So I'm seeing these devotees have been somewhat wounded. There's some fear, some paranoia. In general, some very good devotees around me. They struggle like anything. You look at this girl, Musika Shori. There are a few mothers in the whole movement who can do what she can. She's a single parent, child. Every day she's up in the morning like clockwork, chants around every single day, transcribes, edits for hours and hours and hours every day. She ain't, you know, watching television. She's not going out to the movies, going out to talking to Java. You know, she's not looking for, she's not having a boyfriend coming in to see her. She did very good. And she practically doesn't even have a real close friend around, if you think about it. And she doesn't see her guru that much physically. It's a very unusual position. The others also were very special. The mother thing for her to hang in as long as that she did. Probably one devotee after another, acharya, for him to kind of live in a simple way that he's born. It doesn't have to live like that. His parents have money. If you have devotional service, his parents, yeah, he can be rich. There's some of a wealthy Jewish background. But he's trying to be simple, you know, with his family, you know, to go on, you know, to run. He's a little cynical because of so many things that happened in his family. You know? There's some of these devotees who are really, really nice, but they are afraid to open up because they're afraid of being. They're afraid that something they may get disappointed. They've learned how to be survivors, be able to go on here, without basically having become a president, GBC, and a guru president. So therefore they're a little afraid to really open up and to really feel comfortable with everything, because then if they get disappointed, it'll be devastating. Some of them are just little by little open up. So, you know, don't just relate to them in a way of tolerance, you know, or look at them, the weaknesses to just think of seeing it all right like that. But try to see more of the positive things that there is definitely more than not. But the hundreds of others who've come here and who've left and now have deviated are hanging out. Those who stayed, or those who trying to stay, and those who are going on, those circumstances, it's very wonderful. And the way you can really appreciate that is wonderful is just see yourself in their position, and you'll see in most cases you would not be up there. Think about it. What's happening in their life is happening to them, but their connection is in them. That in most cases, if you were in their position, you would not be able to do it. If you were in Mother's living position, none of you would have been able to hang out with this year. Month after month, year after year, not knowing what the future is going to be, not having any so much support, whatever you do, you know, it kind of bothers somebody this way, that way. Not having a husband, not having your children, you know. You end up early in the morning, going out to your work, doing city service. You come back at the end of the night, every night, in a little small room, you and the bed, and that's it. You end up, you know, with the same scheme, you know, the next day. Ain't no TV in her room, ain't no husband there, huh? Ain't no arrangement for a lot of sense gratification. No sense gratification. It's just there, and whatever goes wrong was on her head. Never goes right, it's in the atmosphere. Really. If you look at one devotee after another, you see the situation you belong to. That these are some very special devotees. Now, other thing I want you to understand also, which is very special about these devotees. First, of course, you should know that Radha Damodar are very special, because they're the only devotees in the movement that's Radha Krishna devotees that has been taken out in the Buddha Chaitanya. So they have, you know, both those things. The other thing is that, in general, often the farm communities don't always have such philosophical people. Sometimes you attract people on the farms who have a lot of that kind of suited people they can work with, but they don't have interest in hearing. Practically, every one of these devotees is still around, has a very strong interest in hearing from. Very strong. In some cases, almost too much. The more into see philosophy in action in some areas. But this is a very good sign. Because when other things are together, by having that, then it makes a very, very positive arrangement. Because then it keeps it focused. Otherwise, it's like Mrs. Rishra was saying now, in India, that he was in, they had everything, but they didn't have so much, well, in that case, they didn't have good relationships. So he said it became like hell. So also, if you have everything, but then you don't have philosophy, it'll just turn into like a, you know, a survivalist, you know, or turn into like a new age. People get along and like each other, economic situation is going strong, then philosophically, you know, people not being stupid. So, do see devotees as being your superiors. See Prabhupada's disciples as being your uncles and aunties, and try to serve them. See each other as calling each other the Buddha, and see the other person being more advanced than you. Even your own case, where you see that you're struggling in different ways, see that if you, in the position of the other person, you're probably becoming worse. If you do like this, then there'll be a genuine sense of humility. You want this fall fine, but you have the empathy, and then you have the ability of how to make the situation better for somebody else. If you don't do those things, you're going to suffer. If you don't do, then you're going to be bombarded by Maya, and Maya is going to bother your physical and mental state. Almost like the only way out of this stuff is to advance, to become more students. Otherwise, any questions?
I'm sure we should start. First, I just want to apologize. I'm always apologizing, but you know, I'm just realizing that every time I get comfortable thinking that I'm really trying to be more loving or I'm really trying to be more attentive, and Krishna always arranged that you come right in. You know, I always do something always happens to bring me right back to the fact that I'm not really emotional. And so I'm really grateful.
Thank you.
you also realize that everything that every person is experiencing is associated with consciousness. Everything can be changed by consciousness. Everything changes by deeper level surrender. But then how do you surrender when most people around may not be surrendered? Well, how do you surrender when you see that so many discrepancies in there? How do you surrender when you realize that maybe you'll surrender and you won't be held sufficiently? And that is a difficult thing. That has to happen by our faith being strong. And how our faith gets strong? By the environment, but also based on our environment. So, I think Mother Kalini was kind of amazed. Our Jagannath just came for a couple of weeks and he's found a job already. People have been here for years, haven't they? But why? Krishna factors is there. You know, everything is happening based on Krishna participating. And, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to see the type of miracles that happen and why they happen. So, now, on your part, other ways part, you have to also be sympathetic and realize that if they had two small kids, then how do you think? What things do they have to do? What challenges do they have to do? Or if they had two small kids and a husband and they're not able to continue to move with, then how would they feel? Just as we look at what she's going through, it may not be so problem. We have to look at what situation she's having to deal with. It's also having some role and playing some part in producing that. But she has no profession. Now she got a job, then what happens to the kids? And if she got a job, and she realizes most jobs she can get, and I'm going to pay her the kind of money she can get on the same time. So it's a rewarding thing. Now I'm going to say, such a situation calls for a miracle. And the miracles happen based on the surrender. I simply wanted to help in trying to get something for the community. I didn't have the slightest idea about how we're going to do that. But because I wanted to do it, start talking about it, then this project comes available. Right? And then this project is available, then two more devotees come forward and ready to do something. And it happens. Desire is the foremost thing. We've got to look at how to get this thing started. Started in a little basement in, you know, on Butterman Street, where you, Minnesota, and Kendra and myself, we all had to live together in a place about the size of this room. They imagined, those who came later, everything there was no food, in a room this size, in a basement, with no light, there's a little attic window opened up like this. And you got to keep it around, you got to you see how heavy it is to run around this for a little while. You have to deal with it. You got to live through day and after day after day after day. But we didn't think first about how to raise money to get a bigger place. This is the mentality. We could have been thinking first how to raise money to get a bigger place. We were thinking about it. We were thinking, even though we had nothing, we were thinking how we're going to do. So what we did is that we somehow later that Tommy arranged for us to have a room that we used at home. And then we would even, a couple of times, we even brought people to that little basement and had some folk in that little basement. I mean, yes, you know. And they realized that, you know, this is not going to be so consistent because people would think, well, this is what your philosophy all you can do. Hell with this, you know. And then that, and one way to get in was to come around in the back and go down like you're going down cellar stairs. We were living underground. But we were thinking, our thought was, how can we because of that, next thing you know, we get another thing, another thing. And it was all by a miracle, because if you get another, and it's people that get this place. And they quickly arranged for me to even use that by getting them to pay for this. To pay for this place on the 16th Street, big house. And then because we just kept wanting to preach, so we got another place, another place. And remember, when we moved in, on the 9th Street, we didn't have the money to pay for the rent. Please remember yourself. When we moved in, on the 9th Street, we were then at a point that we were going to have to close on income. We didn't have enough money to cover for the rent. But our main concern was how we were going to preach. Think about it. We were in a small house. We didn't have the money to cover for that because Sue was, I think it was 40 hours. And then Lila was pulling out. So we didn't have the money to cover, you know, for the mission. So here we had so many devotees coming for the Ingram. And then they were moving out. Now we're talking about getting a bigger place that would need even more people. But then, Ekav here, who counted and started trying, which got, and moved it up. You'll make that leap. You can't do that, pull out again at the last minute. And I said, no. Krishna wants it to happen. It's going to happen. Oh no, the other way. The opinion wasn't following. I didn't line the movement. And I was risking the whole thing falling apart. I said, no. Let's emphasize purity as a force. This is to happen. It has to happen the right way. Otherwise, we just have to suffer. And we'll just do based on whatever's there. The idea is that what you have, you use it and be practical. Use it for preaching it foremost. The miracles will happen. The miracles will come to you. So then, now we're talking about expanding while we're in this place. The rent's going up higher. We're having trouble paying the bills. Just keep in mind, some of the opposite will happen. If we have more trouble in one place, keep preaching, and the next thing happens, they expand. Because every time they go up there, they jump. So here we're at the point, a nice week, where we can't afford that place. At the same time, we're talking about expanding, coming here and not. Leela, that money has moved out. Body was not able to cover all his expenses. So, and the bills are going to happen. The landlord is going to be higher. Ekavir, at that point, was wanting to leave his job and become more devotional. He's not what he is. Again, that was just a job. He already got the job. Okay. So, here we are, where this thing that we're in now, not so secure. We're talking about making an extension to do more something spiritual, because spiritual things are with the focus. And then so this comes available in the most amazing way, and then Leela just decides to buy the Institute House, and then Volga. Keep in mind, neither of them were coached, asked, or encouraged. Keep that in mind. Because Krishna. Leela and wife, they wouldn't ask. Now, if you ask them, what did I ask? They saw the need for Krishna's fire. We didn't ask Lopal. She out of her own desire. And now we're having Michael, who's considering buying the 50 acres of land. We can buy this. Pay off the mortgage, and then be able to let the woman buy the man. I was saying, even to this day, that in the deeper parts of their country, they don't know why they're there. I mean, even about the place, they haven't even stayed there for 2 days straight. I mean, it's just unheard of, you think about it. They bought a place. They get down there, own little small condominium. They got, you know, two. They got a small little condominium. They're not even bigger than this whole floor. But they're living in there. They buy this place, big house, and then they're not even living there. It's unheard of. And we're not thinking, nobody thinks with this. This house, I think, is bigger than Lopa's house. Yeah, much bigger. Much bigger than Lopa's. Lopa lives in a small place. You got money, but you live in a very small, you know, meager place. It's like getting ready to go to India. you're saying here, there are money. But because the thing you're preaching first, but we say, okay, you have more truth, that's right. And that makes it more difficult. But I tell you, if they had children, it wouldn't make any sense. So Krishna does this. I mean, I have the four stones in the world. I have Africa and all these places. And somehow, things are going on. Things are going on. That's right. They keep preaching it. You know, almost. You know, I'm going to Suriname, for example. The preacher is the foremost consideration. I mean, if you knew how much I have no interest for rural life, you'd be shocked. But I'm completely getting geared up to be ready to spend the majority of the remaining of this life in a rural community. I mean, this is in Australia. At one point, I was like, in a room, I was like, shouted out, like, what is going on? I mean, I was missing the temples, beautiful temples, to go to the ponds. Boom, boom, boom. And then the ponds, huge spiders, huge scorpions, like that. No electricity, you know, this is that, you know. That's a fun place, you know. Fun place with everything, there's no bathroom, no toilet, everything was outside. Thinking, what am I doing? But I realized, this is service. And then I just shifted and I became a good leader. It's something that it's all based on, you know, the faith factor. And you have to be practical at the same time. We have to be practical, but always seeing how to arrange the practical arrangements based on the Krishna effect. If we do that, Krishna even makes so many things easier. Otherwise, it's like struggling too much uphill. What it would have taken me, and my initial idea was to find some land, what it would have taken to start a project called Fresh. In one sense, it would have been better, because then I could have created the whole form atmosphere. But in another sense, it would take years and years and years. Getting the land, getting the cows, getting the deities, getting the temple, getting one thing after another. This way, the brain becomes something that's already set up, and we have a chance to really grow with the environment. You're all benefiting so much from the good and the bad things here. It's so powerful, so wonderful what's happening. And only a few hours from watching. You have to look at the miracles. So then we leave with not enough money to pay for 9th Street. And we wind up getting such a big project. And then Mother tried to tell me three times that he's building a house. I went to the land once, but it was through a bush. And he's saying that, so I'm going to build this house. I didn't know any kind of notion that he wanted to let that be used for the institute. He told me before the house began to build, he had that in mind all along. I had no understanding of that. Did any of you visit Mother Child before he in the house that he didn't know? You see how he was there?
They
didn't have glasses. They didn't have baths. And at the same time, he was eager for Jambavati to come stay with him. And you all know Jambavati stuff. I mean, it was amazing. And he was ready, you know, I mean, you know, the little place he had. And they didn't have bed, didn't have glasses. And he offered, I mean, he wanted to do something. So based on consciousness, then Krishna arranged to give him this place. Not that he just could get a special. And Krishna arranged to give him a place. And then he says, so he wants to do this many things. We didn't have Lena, we didn't have Loka, we didn't have Manisha. We didn't have. Who would think of asking somebody to your house? I mean, who would think of that? They're just newly married. Huh? They got a job, they got to be doing heavy action in the public like that, you know. medical job, your doctor be always tense like that. Then when you come home, you want to chill out. When he comes home to a public place where a dude's up there any moment, buzzing down, you know, and everybody's tense. But any moment he may walk out the door, you know. I mean, if he just wants to go ahead and grab his wife and give her a big hug and a big kiss, huh? He can't feel comfortable. This is the thing about this. What is that submitted to? Huh? He all day long, dealing with blood, guts, and stuff. in an emergency room at the hospital. Anyway, crazy doctors, fucked up doctors. He comes home. He gets killed every day early, you know, for the mother IT. Gotta be in the place where people come in and out of his kitchen, cooking, doing all kinds of things. Gotta keep his kids in a certain way because one of his kids used to devour the room. And then, he can't even really relaxed in his own house. Only thing he can be a little relaxed when he goes to his little room and closes the door. And then his kids come right in and jump on his back. Or he may get a call, you know, they have to come in. But, you know, see, Krishna arranged that there's a need so that something is still going on in the Washington connection. And so the place we couldn't afford, now we get some place that we're not even thinking about. So there's always money problems. There's never going to stop. But the question is, if we try to see how to expand the preaching, like now, right now I'm thinking the same way. I'm thinking right now how to expand the preaching. As I think that the subject is going to expand, according to how big the preaching vision is, the arrangements, the facility will expand proportion. Not the other way around. We think the other way around should be the case. But not the other way around. Not the way we could get more facility, more money, then expand the preaching. Expand the preaching first. It has to be individual complex. Again, you can say it's easier than the sannyasi. It's a lot easier. Or this person is a profession. Person who has kids. But whatever one situation is, there are complexities based on that particular ashram, that particular, you know, physical area. You can say that as a doctor, he should be less likely to want to have to do with public. As somebody who didn't have anything, who lived in such a small place, and now they have two kids, they should want to have their practice. But the problem I'm having with Madhvacharya, that he keeps wanting to bring more people to the house. That's his problem. Mother, the nurse, Shivaratri and Randakini. Yeah. There's about 5 people. He's considered inviting them to come to the house. He's not thinking left. He's thinking about more. I had to tell him tactfully that it's okay, Nandakini, she has a job, and she lives alone. I mean, she has the ability to take care of herself. You don't have to, you know. So I see that it's going to overload itself. So the confidence is there because of that. The Krishna is actually giving himself. Even though he may not be, you know, reading all the time, may be able to come to other programs because of his job. But there's a depth of consciousness. It shows. And it shows how one thinks. When one has something, what they do. They don't have something, what they do. And it shows something about the consciousness. They didn't have, he's ready to share the little place. You know? And then when he got, he's ready to share a little more. Now his parents, his relatives, he's crazy as hell. His mother comes there and newlywed, the doctor, he gets to the top and she walks in and she sees all these people in and out of the house all the time, pictures of Krishna and Guru around everywhere, plaques everywhere. You think, what in the hell is wrong with our son? Something like that every day. When they see him, they confront him like anything. And continues to parent him. What else? But, you know, he's we have to learn from each other. That's why I gave my president in Africa the little workshop by having them to explain these like the things of what they were doing when they had left the movement, the leader movement now, what they had done, they had done the movement, how they taken care of the employees. I wanted them to kind of monitor because you see some of those who are surrendering more, it's actually happening, you know, in the fly sense, those who are not. Because if 9 of them were together, I could kind of look and see in their own lives. Otherwise, it keeps seeming like everything is up in the sky. And then it just doesn't, you know, there, but it doesn't quite happen. That's why I mentioned, too, a little while ago, that notice the devotees who are happier, who are in higher consciousness, and you always see they have a stronger, separable relationship. It never fails. And when there is weakness, you always see that there's something that's lacking. The other thing is that the guru connection is strong. We'll have a more of a team spirit. Just like a group of musicians or a group of sportsmen. They have a they have an identity. With that identity, something that they bought is a vibrator that allows them to stay focused. Without that sense of identity, it becomes hard to practice sometimes. When you feel tired and feel desire to do it, then it's more likely to get someone along. When we have the sense of identity, again, I think we want our team to be strong, to be successful. The most important is that Krishna is not going to do the same. Because the Guru really is nothing more, or is as much. Say nothing more in the sense that it's really that there's a door. Who is a door? Krishna is coming through. The door is not open. That's where Krishna comes. Somebody doesn't have a strong connection, like to get the door closed, or someone partially open. They're trying to come in, but the door is not open. So there will be diminishing return. There's a lot of energy in something.
You said you didn't really care for rural life, you didn't really care for city life. I'm just curious, but if you had your dwellers here on the planet, where would you be spending your time?
Great. One thing I was talking about Sunday, and I was mentioning that again in class, I was telling a little bit about what's really going on in this world. It's actually very demonic. What's going on with leaders and extraterrestrials? People are actually really enslaved. Let me give you some examples. You know, many times you know, we talk about mind control. I mean, there are so many people now, thousands of people, who are actually slaves, that they have two or three different personalities, and they are turned on sometimes from other personalities to be accessed to other personalities. I mean, it's like the people who are not really having someone to use their free will. There's a lot of things. You know, when you read about it, I heard about 1984, a book written up, people being massively programmed and whatnot. This is actually going on. It can affect the weather pattern. It can cause some of the people to get cancer. It can cause some of the people by projecting around the way. It can cause riots. You know, this is all going on. And this planet is very controlled by even they have a ability, they can kill someone and can have their soul present in that person's body. The person is dead, gone, and he's in the body. Make sex slaves. It's all kind of very frightening, very much. Without spiritual protection, people cause taking life. I mean, if they can take John Kennedy's life on public television and have people talking about it and kill 23, 4 people who have some knowledge of it, and then have books and movies written about it and say, to hell with it. It's a different problem. You know, there's other people who have been taken out like that. I mean, you know, Dr. King and so many people. There's so many times people who are dealing with the extraterrestrials who are trying to crash. Many people, 9, 10 times, die. Good suicide. One or two heart attacks of the suicide. Cutting their wrists, hanging themselves, putting fumes to the cars. And they're brothers with family sickness. Because taking people's lives means nothing. The demons take many, many lives. Do you realize there are millions of children who are missing, who will never be seen again? Some of them may use rituals. Some of them are taking pictures of them. Some of them are being used as sex slaves. Slaves to hell. This is why. The only way really to kind of get around to this is being spiritual and also having the two on your own. So I just kind of brought this very important. Very important for the Lord to do is to help each other and learn each other. That way to protect each other. Keep some of the stuff, you know, effective. You heard time and time again, this AIDS is not the actual legitimate disease. It's a distinctly operational thing by people who are involved in trying to control and get out of the involved. So, I mean, this is typically an iceberg. It is actually frightening of how people are being abused, misused, and exploited. And the only protection is good protection because it's really the activity. Tyrants who are in the physical, who are connected with entities outside of the physical, who are connected with entities on this level and other levels, who are demonic, who are exploited, who abuse it, who then make coalitions with beings who are mature and simple, who create a fearless network. And we have to clear our down topic.
Yeah, but...
We're working on it now.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that aspect of it, but what I did was I just recently sent in the form. I just finished working on them yesterday to send in the form, but we would have to pay, like, almost regular amounts for the VOGA, but at least I can start a small... we just got a thing on it.
I lost her. She said that the laws are different. And she can give us, like, a blueprint of what has to be done, but basically... the other thing is that we just had a land zoning that we've been talking about it. Ugly. One devotee is Potomac, that I've known for Potomac, but I really didn't have much of a relationship with him. But when Ugly, Ugly's living with him now, and so Ugly spoke to him, and I threw out and tell Ugly, you know, we need to we need what we need to do something to. So Ugly spoke with him, said he had bought him back, so he agreed to donate. So I'm trying to arrange today for David to go with Cardinicia, and so David can connect with Ogden, so we can take the tags maybe off our vehicle that's there, sitting there, and then David can bring his van back, and then maybe when we get back from Ogden, we can do with all the other people. It's a commercial van. So, and then the other thing is that Rabindra Pursuit Prabhu, he called today, I spoke to him today, and you know, his mood was just so sweet. It was like, when do you want me to come? And, you know, like that. It was just like very nice, very sweet mood. But what came out of that was that I told him you were coming. And he was just so excited. He was like, he's coming? You know, it was just so amazing that he would actually be here to be a part of
right,
you know, the
right.
whole thing.
It doesn't usually happen.
No. So he was so excited. So he'll be here about 4, between 4 and 4:30 tomorrow. Now, anyway, I'll get to talk to you about where he's staying, because actually the temple is available on the manager, and he's bringing 4 menus. So,
let's see, maybe you stay with me?
That's how we stay.
Because now I've got an extra bed. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so
we'll
just
have
and I also told him that you have to get right out. You probably stay for a day, but they do.
Yes, this is, I was saying that we want to encourage the guru type of relationship in general, so that, you know, our whole family, our extended family becomes strong. So we want protection and also be lasting. What time is it now?
I just wanted to share that the family is very attached to you too, like bringing you in the microphone.
She's attached to all of you.
Making you something ever since.
But really, the reason she's very happy to be here is that she also feels very comfortable with being here.
That's the one, that's a big part of our mission, is that we've always come around and we've always been to feel inspired about shifting, you know, their own relationship. Quite pregnant now.
Yeah.
A little pregnant before. How many months?
5 and a half.
5 and a half. So, that's interesting. Right. We have to be very careful. Like with our present children, we should all be very careful. Taking birth to be in motion of the right. We are there before we even sit in the kitchen. Get a kitchen work. Okay, so I try to let Pritchett answer you. What's the promise one? Arrangement
is cooking, Pritchett is doing the offering. I believe that's
good. Let's see here. Is that start off? This is a different day, actually. Everything is accelerating. And it is delicate because if one somehow doesn't strengthen their Christian in which we attach ourselves. These are some of the reasons also that I was speaking on some of these points, because after visiting the other temples and clearly seeing what's going on, seeing how attacks are increasing, that you're always being stronger, many of you are bewildered. And I realize you need to try to protect devotees a little more by trying to help clarify more things and to let themselves be as they are. Help us to have the ammunition. So what's really the ammunition is up to you. The ammunition. And then last, looking at this, your question, looking at how much you know, this is such a hellish place. Okay. Terrible things and the wonderful things that's available. And we position ourselves. Oh, how can I get this Christian consciousness more? How can I let more miracles happen? How can I position myself in Krishna? This is what we're thinking now, okay? Now I'm going to go to another faith, another faith. How can we now get ready for Krishna? And then later we'll be talking about how they came to the farm with his level and how this takes up and how that happens. Then, he's done that. But also seeing as we went around, as I go around, we're noticing more devotees who want to be connected with us. So that happens, the nucleus is stronger, and it becomes